Hey, you're listening to a sermon from Fellowship Church in Royce City. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11, and we would love to see you there. To connect with us online or to find more resources, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook or check us out at fellowshiprc.com.
Well, good morning. Y'all go ahead and be seated, and if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to the book of Philippians. We're continuing our series. Now, if you're here for the very first time and you're wondering what in the world we have this toolbox up here for, it's because this series is entitled Essential Life. And in it, in the book of Philippians, what we find for the life of the disciple of Jesus, the follower of Christ, there are essentials that we pull from this about how we are to live in a world where that desperately needs Christ. So there's things to learn, there's things to be valued, there's things to be encouraged by, and sometimes there are things, quite simply, where we have to look at ourselves and say, I'm not quite living up to those standards. And so every week we're pulling out a different tool. Today we have actually two things we're going to pull out of our toolbox. Now, if you remember last week, we were talking about commitment, and so our tool was a set of hedge trimmers. Now, don't you love, so if you're in a connect group and you're a small group, don't you love the closeness and the relationship that we have that, with those other believers that are in your small group? Because here's what I heard from my small group. Man, you really stretched with that hedge trimmer. And I was like, what are you talking about? Well, that was just kind of a stretch. I was like, hey, thanks for the encouragement. All right, and so we just kind of laughed. But here's the deal. I believe that it's true because I've lived there. That when you get ready to trim your hedges, it's an all or nothing proposition. Okay, that's what we were talking about last week. You can't just start on the one in the end and make it look good and go, hey, we're all done here. Matter of fact, if you think about when you get ready to trim those hedges like that and the commitment that it takes, it's not even getting finished with actually trimming the hedges. That's the easy part. You know what the difficult part is? Picking up all the things that you just cut up. You gotta pick it up, you got to load it up, you got to find some place to put it, okay? And so there's a lot of commitment involved. So last week, what we were looking at in the first chapter was that here is Paul, and he's writing, and he's in prison. He's a prisoner in Rome, and he's writing back to this church that he helped to establish by the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what led him to this place called Philippi to begin with. And so he's established this church. He then left. We're going to talk a little bit more about how come Paul finds himself in Rome. But here he is, and he's writing to them. And we looked at that first portion, the first 11 verses. And what we found from this is a couple of things. Number one, Paul really loved the people in Philippi. And he loved them because they were committed to spreading the gospel in Philippi. And he loved them because they loved each other. And he loved them because they loved him. So in this relationship, what we find here is we find this leader, this church leader, who genuinely loves the people of this church. And then we find the people of this church, and they genuinely love this church leader. You know what kind of churches change their communities? Churches where everybody within the body of Christ truly love one another. I was thinking about this. And I was thinking about this group. I was thinking about who we are. And the fact of the matter is that I genuinely love everybody in here. I love this church, and I love this community. I love our senior adults, some of the greatest people to hang out with. Okay? Once a month, we gather together to eat lunch. And it literally is a highlight of my month is when we get to sit down and then be with these people. Encouraging, laughter, fun with each other. And some of you think that I may be just kind of placating them. I'm being serious. Probably the funnest group to be around in this church is our senior adults. And they love the church, they love this community, and they love Christ. The other day I was walking through, matter of fact, it was yesterday, I was walking through, I had to come up here and grab something. And as I was walking through, I noticed that our doors in and out of the church and in and out of the gym and in and out of the office, they're smudged up. They needed to be washed and cleaned. And I walked in, I said, man, look at these dirty windows and doors. You know what hit me? Those things are dirty because we have kids running all over the place around here. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be cleaning them, but it's a sign. And I love the fact that our kids love being here. I love our young families. I love what's going on in our student ministry. And my point being is this, before we even go further, is that there is a commitment level to one another in the church in Philippi, but there was also a commitment to who Paul was. And so when you read the first portion of Philippians chapter 1, you see this relationship of genuine love for one another. It comes off. And so last week we were talking about commitment. So this week we're actually going to be transitioning because Paul's going to talk a little bit about himself here in verses 12 through 18a. So we're breaking up verse 18. Now, if you don't know anything about Philippi, maybe this is your first time with us. Philippi was in Macedonia, ancient Macedonia. It's a first church kind of in that direction and in that portion of the world. And Paul started, as I said, the Holy Spirit led him there. And in this place called Philippi, it's a Roman colony, and it's filled with retired Roman soldiers. And so this idea of standing up for Rome and who Rome was and we're going to conquer the world is very strong there. And as we stated at the very beginning, so you have Paul coming in and he's saying, listen to me, the King of Kings is Jesus. So he's already kind of starting some things. And here what we find is as we continue to move forward is that we move from commitment to a perspective in your life that changes the way you see everything. A perspective that says this, no matter what my circumstances are, whether my circumstances at the moment are as high as they can be and as great as they can be, or whether I find myself kind of in a valley, what doesn't change is my perspective of who Jesus is and what my role is in sharing Christ with other people. Because that's what we find here as the Apostle Paul starts in on verse 12. He saw his circumstances as something that would be used to advance the gospel. How you see your circumstances, listen to this, how you see your circumstances is a choice. How you see your circumstances is a choice. Because the Apostle Paul had a choice to make. He could look at his circumstances, he could figure out where he was, he could understand that he really didn't deserve to be there, and he could be angry, he could be upset. And yet in spite of those things, he chose to share the gospel where he could. And that brings us to today's essential truth. Before we begin to read here, I want us to take a look at this essential truth today. You can choose to see the obstacles or you can choose to see the opportunities. There's two things you look at. I can see obstacles or I can see opportunities. And when we talk about developing a powerful perspective as a follower of Jesus, we have to take a look exactly what Paul does here. Because what Paul does is exactly that. He chose to see opportunities over obstacles. And because of it, there are ramifications not only for moving faith in Christ forward in Rome, but also into those early Christians. All right, so let's look at verse 12. So if you see here, we've kind of given you an acrostic, okay? That's up and down, spells a word. Words go sideways. And what does it spell? Apex. So we're going to hold in a lot of anticipation. And if I was you, I would think about this. You should look forward in great anticipation of what is the word that starts with X. There's not very many words that start with X. It took us a while to find one. We found one, we jumped up for joy, and we high-fived each other. And because of it, I hope that it will, because it's a little bit different word, I hope it actually is like branded into you so you remember it. That's kind of one of the reasons we chose it, all right? So Apex. I'm going to read verse 12 first, and I'm going to let you see what it is. Here's what Paul says in verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So what do y'all think the first one is? Advance. All right, you can read. Advance. Verse 12. Listen again what Paul says. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now, when he says this, here's what's literally taking place. He is taking what we just said and putting it into practice. He is choosing to see the opportunities over the obstacles. He says, now listen, guys, here's what I want you to know. The things that have happened to me, many of you would say are bad, and they probably are, and I don't want to be here. And yet through this, the gospel is being advanced. Now notice what he says here. Let's kind of break down this verse here, verse 12. We're going to break it down in two sections. Let's break it down in the first section where he says this. What has happened to me? So what has happened to Paul? Well, if you want to know what happened to Paul, you have to go all the way back to Acts chapter 21. And what has happened here is Paul has returned to Jerusalem, okay? And he's actually warned by the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you do this, there's going to be consequences. And so he returns and he prepares himself and he goes to the temple. And while he's there, the religious people notice him there at the temple. And so they start a problem. Now, why in the world would they start a problem? Simply because Paul is returning back home and returning back to the temple. Because Paul comes back as a traitor. Well, why is Paul a traitor? Because he was one of them at one time. He was one of the people that was against Christ. He was one of the ones who went around and persecuting Christians and throwing them in jail and bringing them back so that they could be martyred for their faith, okay? And then he has this miraculous interaction with Jesus on the road to Damascus, where Jesus basically calls him and saves him right there. And from that point forward, he's always lived to advance the gospel. And so when he returns, he's returning as a traitor. I want you to put yourself in that position. If you're in the mindset that Christianity is false and we have to protect this Jewish heritage, and all of a sudden you see the guy come in, immediately you're going to go, I can't believe he has the nerve to show up here. And so they cause problems for him. He ends up being arrested. If you continue to read, what happens is Paul continues to kind of appeal this up the chain, and it takes him all the way to Rome. And when Paul says here, guys, what has happened to me? He's talking about all of this. He's talking about the whole process, being charged, going from step to step to step, making it to Rome, waiting on the Romans to actually do something. And they're in no hurry to do anything. There's no laws there. There's no quick and speedy trial. And so he should be frustrated. He should be angry. He should be crying out to God, what are you doing? And so this is what he says. He says, listen to me. What has happened to me? He's explaining it to us. And he's talking about these obstacles in his life. Almost an understanding of some suffering that's going on. In the Bible, there's different types of suffering. Okay, there's one kind of suffering that's corrective suffering. That is, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I've kind of moved away a little bit, and so God allows some correction to come into my life to bring me back. So we see this in Proverbs chapter 3. Here's what Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12 say. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. Verse 12 says this, for the Lord reproves him who he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. Sometimes suffering is allowed into our life to draw us back. Sometimes suffering is brought into our lives to awaken us, not only to who God is, but also to see the needs of other people. It's to refine us so that we can see and help other folks. It refines us in growing us closer to God, but it also gets us through situations so possibly we could help somebody else, a younger Christian that's going through that. Listen to what 1 Peter chapter 1 says, verses 6 and 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes suffering comes into our lives, obstacles come into our lives to point us back to God. Sometimes suffering and obstacles come into our life to refine our faith, not only so we're closer to Christ, we can help other people, but here's the kicker. Paul's not enduring either one of those two. What it seems like here is that God has simply allowed Paul to go through this for the express reason of advancing the gospel throughout Rome. And so he says, what has happened to me, and they would have understood. And then he gets to the second part of verse 12. He says, what has happened to me? What does he say? has really been to advance the gospel. Folks, all those things that have happened to me, and I can see those as obstacles, I see them as opportunities, because what has happened to me has now given me an opportunity to advance the gospel forward. So when Paul's writing this, and then there's this Greek word, okay, prokape. Prokape means to move forward or to progress an army. Okay, so push an army forward. So then we get the verb form, prokoptein, and what prokoptein means is this. It means literally to cut down so that the army can advance. So I want you to think about that in your mind, because what Paul is saying is it's not just that the gospel is trickling forward as I'm in prison. He says the gospel is moving forward, is advancing forward, just like an army would advance through some thick brush. And so that brings us, I think starting next week, I'm going to get a little music every time we get to the tool part, you know. Dun, da, da, da. All right, that brings us to tool number one, okay? Here's tool number one. I got to be real careful with this guy. Just joking, I can handle this. All right, here's tool number one. What do you think about this, Spider? What do you think about sitting on the front row, Spider? Because I'm about to start waving this thing around. All right. This did not come with a protective little piece of rope, but I put it on there. Here's tool number one. What Paul is saying is this. What Paul is saying is that the gospel is advancing much like an army would advance if it got to a place where everything had been dense and there's a lot of overgrowth, and there's a bunch of vines and a bunch of trees, and you have a few guys that are lucky enough to go forward, and guess what their job is? It's just to clear it out. And he says, as they clear it out, the gospel is going forward, like a marching army. That's a mental thing. That is a choice. That says that in my life, no matter where I am, no matter what circumstance I'm in, I want in my life, I want the gospel to be marching forward in advancement, much like an army. Now, Spider, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to heave that thing, and it's going to stick right in that wood. Just joking. Y'all know what would happen. It'd just be a big, loud clank. All right? Tool number one is that you have to have that idea that says, just like you would clear out and move forward, you have to kind of have that machete attitude, okay? I got to advance. I got to keep going forward. If you want to develop this powerful perspective, no matter what the circumstances are in your life as a disciple of Jesus, then you have to be saying this to yourself. Always be advancing. You ever heard that term, like if you're in sales, always be closing, always be closing? For those of us that are Christians and followers of Jesus, we should change that and daily say that to ourselves. Always be advancing. Always be advancing the gospel, no matter what my circumstances are. Here's the next one, and we see this in verse 13. Let's read it together. So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. All right? So number two is to proclaim. So we have advance, and now we have proclaim. He's saying the gospel is being advanced, and he says, I am proclaiming it, but where is he proclaiming it? He says, throughout the whole imperial guard. Now let's sit there for a second. Why is it important that he says, not only is it being advanced, but I'm proclaiming it to the whole imperial guard? Because guess what, folks? That's where God's put him. Paul says, this is where you're going to put me? If this is where you're going to put me, I'm going to start advancing the gospel right here with the imperial guard. Do you know the imperial guard was the Praetorian Guard? So if you know anything about Roman history. Praetorian Guard were established by Augustus. They usually averaged around 10,000 soldiers. Sometimes they actually got up as high as 14,000. Hand-picked soldiers, okay? And it sounded like a great idea at first, but it actually turned into kind of a nightmare, because guess what happens when you have control of something? When you have military control of something, you got the best of the best, all of a sudden you begin to dictate what we're going to do. And so that's what they kind of took over some power. But at this point, these are the guys to be influenced for Christ. And these are the ones that are guarding and watching over Paul as he's in prison. Now, let me ask you this question. Would these guards be an obstacle to you, or would you see them as an opportunity? I'm telling you right now, I'd see them as an obstacle. Not only do I don't like you because you're not letting me be free, okay? Especially for Paul's sake. I mean, these guys were the best of the best at the time of whatever training you could have. I think maybe we'd be a little bit intimidated by them. I have no idea what they're going to do. And yet we don't find that anywhere in Paul's reaction towards this. All that Paul saw was that, okay, if I'm going to be with these guys. Now, sometimes he was chained to them, and sometimes they just kind of watched over him. But you also have to understand what's taking place here. Every 24-hour period, you basically had three different guys that were probably watching him. Whether they were chained to him physically or whether they were just with him there, okay, you had the first watch, the second watch, and the third watch. And so you got these soldiers that are just kind of being rotated in and out with him. And he saw it as an opportunity. He's going to share his faith with them. The difference in the life and the perspective of the Apostle Paul is that although he should have been upset with the obstacles in his life, he saw them as opportunities. And Paul didn't see the chain at the end of his own hand. All Paul saw was the soldier on the other end of the chain. And you know what Paul says? Hey, we're not going anywhere. You got to watch me. I got to stay here. Let me get to know you, and then let me tell you about this Jesus that changed my life. And he just begins to influence these guys for Christ. And these guys are leaders. These guys are leaving, and they're going to tell other guys and other people within the palace and other places of leadership. And so all of a sudden, Paul goes, hey, you know that thing that should have been an obstacle? It's become an opportunity, and not only have I shared Christ with these people, but guess what? Because of that, they're starting to talk about it in other places of leadership. And so this comes to a place we have to ask ourselves a great question. And this isn't just, I have to ask you a question. This, we have to ask ourselves this question, okay? And I want you to personalize it. Who has God put at the other end of my chain? Who has God put at the other end of my chain? Is it my neighbor? Is it my spouse? Is it a coworker? Is it a friend of mine? And they're lost and they need to know who Jesus is? And am I totally missing the fact that God has given me an opportunity here, much like the Apostle Paul had an opportunity over and over and over to share Christ with these Praetorian guards? Who has God put at the other end of your chain that needs Jesus? Here's the third one. All right, so we have advance. Okay, we have proclaim. Verse 14. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Advance, proclaim, and watch this, encourage. What Paul is saying here is this. I have seen the opportunities that God has given to me. And I am taking advantage of those opportunities, and I'm sharing Christ with these people, and God's beginning to work within the Praetorian Guard, and the gospel is actually being discussed in bigger places, and other believers who are finding out about this, and other believers who are taking a look at my boldness to share my faith with these soldiers, guess what? They're becoming more and more encouraged to share their faith with whoever God has put at the other end of their chain. See, when you're bold enough to live this kind of godly perspective life and you share Christ with whoever it is that God's put at the other end of your chain, when other people, other believers that are around you see this and hear this and watch it, you know what they say to themselves? I can do that. I mean, it really is that simple. If he can do it, I can do it. If she can do it, I can do it. And sometimes it's as simple as this. If he's doing it, I should be doing it. And if she's doing it, I should be doing it. So this past week is a perfect example of how people will kind of follow you. Now, we're talking about following you in encouragement because you're doing a great thing of advancing the gospel with whoever it is that God's put on the other end of your chain. But you can encourage people to do great things, and you can encourage people to do really stupid things. So this past week, had a group of our men that are in a men's group, meets off campus. They didn't do this as part of their group. They're all influencing one another. And they all think that they're super tough and that they're more manly than anybody else, and they can take anything they want and dish out. And so they decided they were going to take this challenge where you eat the hottest, spiciest chip of all time. And so I watched part of it on Facebook. And I just don't know if it's a really good indication of the level that our men are at right now. All right? But they eat it. And you can tell it's torture. And so I ran into one of them who will remain nameless Friday night at the game. And I said, okay, seriously, how bad was it? Stupidest thing I've ever done in my life was what I was told. I said, what did it taste like? He said, it had no taste. Fire is all it was like. He said, it was like if charcoal was on fire and you ate it. And I'm like, and y'all encourage one another to do this. See, the point is this. Can I share with you something? Encouraging people to do something's really easy. It's actually the doing the right thing that's difficult. And so what Paul is saying here is he's encouraging not only those at Philippi, but he's encouraging us. That if you'll see the opportunities and not the obstacles, if you'll always be advancing the gospel, if you'll share Christ with the people that God has put on the other end of the chain in your life, then what happens is you encourage other believers who may be a little bit more hesitant or a little more fearful, and they'll watch you and they'll say, you know what, I can do that too. When you hear a testimony of, God put this person in my life, we just started this conversation, or this thing happened in somebody's life, and I just prayed with them, and I shared Christ with them. When you begin to hear those types of things, you begin to understand what Paul's talking about here. Is that by seeing the opportunities and sharing Christ with the Praetorian Guard and seeing how it's beginning to move, other people were encouraged to share faith wherever they were. Hebrews chapter 10, 24. Watch this. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works. And you see what that says? Let us see how we can encourage each other in the good things, in the right things. So we have, at this point, and I'm glad we're not stopping, because at this point we just have ape, all right? And can't just have ape. All right, so here's the drum roll. Because I'm going to give you the next one. Let me read these verses to you. So he goes into a different portion here, and Paul says this starting in verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Here's the last word, xenial. I'm seeing the look on some of y'all's faces. Xenial. Here's what xenial means. Xenial means hospitality between two people, oftentimes strangers. It's a Greek word. It talks about being hospitable. It talks about being friendly with one another. Now, that doesn't make any sense because what did Paul just say? He gives us a look at two different groups. He says, listen, guys, there's one group that is preaching Christ and they're doing it for the right reasons. He says there's another group here in Rome that's preaching Christ. They're doing it for the wrong reasons. Well, how could they do it for the wrong reasons? Well, some of them were jealous of Paul. Some of them were jealous of Paul because he was the leader and he started all these churches and God had done some amazing things in their life. But now he's in prison and so they're like, see, he's not that great. I'm a better leader than he is. He's in jail. So some of them were actually jealous of Paul and envious of Paul, and in a lack of leadership, they tried to take over because they cared more about their position than anything else. And so you have these two groups. And Paul, as he's talking about this situation, he kind of gives us a clue. And that is sometimes, I hate to tell y'all this, but sometimes Christians are hard to get along with. We're not perfect people. We have differing opinions. Some people are just kind of always in a bad mood, it seems like. I don't know. Within the church, and every church has it, people just are just kind of troublemakers and other things that go on. And what we have a tendency to do is we have a tendency to just focus in on it. Man, I can't stand that guy. I can't stand that lady. I don't even know why she's here. I don't know why he's here. And we focus on those types of things. And Paul didn't focus on the envy, and he didn't focus on the jealousy, and he didn't focus on the strife. Those are just kind of stirring up problems. But to say it didn't bother Paul wouldn't be true either. And here's why. If it didn't bother Paul, why'd he say anything about it? Paul's a human being. Paul's in prison. He knows he doesn't deserve to be there. And not only is he in prison, he doesn't deserve to be there. There's people in Rome here who are supposed to be church leaders, and they're actively working against him. In fact, many biblical historians believe that one of the leading forces that finally led to Paul being executed came from these leaders who just kept pushing and pushing and pushing and causing problems for him. I don't know about you, but man, I'm having a hard time getting over that. Not Paul. Here's another tool that I want you to think about, okay? This is vital when you're working with tools. Sometimes when it has to do with working with somebody else that'll hurt you. You ever been hurt by somebody else's goofball actions? All right, with the tool? Hey, hold this nail for me. All right? Don't ever do that. Where'd you go? Not right there. Right here. Where'd you go? Right here. All right, here's another great tool that you need. You need a first aid kit. Okay? And here's why. Because obviously what Paul did was this. He bandaged himself up emotionally, okay? And he made the choice to say this. I'm not going to let what they're doing take away from the fact that Christ is being proclaimed. Do you notice what he said there? He said, look, there are those that are preaching Christ, and I've influenced them, and they're reaching people for Christ for the right reasons. He said, there's other group that I even influenced that are now preaching Christ out of envy and jealousy and all types of things against me. And then in verse 18, do you know what he asked a question? He says, what then? Basically what Paul's saying is, what do you want me to say about it? And what does he say? I'm going to paraphrase. As long as Jesus is being proclaimed, that's all that matters. I'll bandage myself up and I'll keep doing my job, which is to share my faith with the guy at the other end of the chain. So sometimes we have to bandage ourselves up. Always be advancing. Always be sharing your faith. Always be moving faith forward. The bottom line today is this: advance Christ in every circumstance of your life. All the time. If you want to have a great perspective in life, a godly perspective, then you have to understand this. Apex. Advance, proclaim, encourage, be zenial. 3 or 4 weeks from now, I'm going to ask y'all, hey, what does zenial mean? Be friendly between two people, especially strangers. If you don't say it exactly like that, we're going to have a problem. Those things matter. That's the kind of believer I want to be. That's hope. That's the kind of believer you want to be. That's the kind of church we need to be, always advancing the gospel no matter what the circumstances are, to truly understand this thing called Apex. Paul had it. He wants us to have it, or he wouldn't have shared this with the church in Philippi. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that in all circumstances of our life, there are obstacles, there are opportunities. In our own hearts and our own minds, would we choose to be close to you, to see the opportunities, to be advancing the gospel, and to every day be asking ourselves the question, who have you put at the other end of the chain in our lives, that we may share Christ with them, that we would love one another and truly love others. And Father, I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Now we're going to end this morning with worship. I'm going to ask you during this time of worship, if you would like for somebody to pray with you, we'll have some of our prayer people up on either side during this last worship song. And if you want to talk more about this particular situation or what it means to give your life to Christ here in just a moment, as we start worship, I'm going to slip out to the back. You can find me out in the center of the foyer. Whatever we do, let's leave here today knowing, number one, that I have a relationship with Christ. I'm committed to Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with Christ, come talk to me. And that I'm ready to advance the gospel. Let's go and do the things that God has called us to do for his honor and for his glory.